Yeah, let's say we can do this in an hour. Want to go? Yes. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Verse 3, every place that the sole of thy foot shall tread upon, yea, that have I given unto you, as I have said unto Moses. Verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the Euphrates, and all the lands of the Hittites, unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. So much. There shall not any man, this should be my confession before. And I want to go for a deliverance ministry. I just say, there shall no man be able to stand before you. No man, no share. Everything falls down. Boah! I mean, Joshua. No man, no share. No speaker. No keyboard. Ashubuni. Amen. This will be our confession. There shall no man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong. Please pay attention. Just pay attention to these words. Be strong and of a good courage unto these people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and courageous. Be very courageous, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Amen. Praise God. Are you ready today? Okay, now look through that text again. Show me one thing that talks about Christ. Yes, read. Where is it? Verse 5. I will be with you. I will not fail you in what? Read the verse 5 now. No man will be able to stand before the other days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee. No, forsake you. Fail you in what? Yeah, my celebrity is around. I will not fail you in what? I will not fail you in what context in this place? In giving them the land of the Canaanites, right? Hittites, right? What can you see in this place that talks about that redemption? Anything? Yeah? Now, so the instructions in that place are to bring them to where? To that physical promised land. Somebody is trying to decode it. You didn't know how to put it. Joshua 1:8 is not the Christian's commission. That's what I want to say. It's not the Christian's commission at all. They are conditions to make their angel happy so that they can enter the land. If you look at that story of Achan that we read last time, one person disobeyed the law, all the powers backfired. Like, one person picked something. Because don't forget, Israel, they had serious angelic aid. Serious angelic assistance. So, one person just took an accosting. The powers that be, what did they do? They turned their back. So the instructions you are seeing in Joshua 1:8 are for those angels to keep, so they can keep doing what they are doing. See their CV again. Let's see, read their CV again. Exodus chapter 23, verse 2, verse 20. Joshua 1:8 is not about justification, but rather is about obeying the laws so that the physical Canaan can belong to them. So you say that thou mayest observe to do according to all. We have used Joshua 1:8 to teach people to be meditating on scriptures several times, but no, please. No. Scriptures are written for faith, not for doing. This is part of the law. So Exodus 23 verse 20, behold, I send an angel before thee. Come on. Oh, I wait for you. My people are slow. You have to learn to be using your two hands. One hand is writing. One hand is typing. Glory. Writing and typing. Open Bible and writing. Okay, Exodus 23 verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place which I prepared. Beware of him. And obey his voice. So provoke him not. Why? For he will not pardon your transgression. For my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do that, do all that I speak, then will I, can you see? Then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversary. 23, for my angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hivites, Jebusites, and I will cause them all. Funny enough, you can think that, okay, this is God now speaking that, okay, I want to hand you over to an angel. It's the same angel that is speaking. That is how he recommended himself. You understand what I'm saying? Selah. Okay, now, so that you can understand that this is not God in action. This is not God sponsoring those killings. The taking overs. Let me show you a story in the history of Israel. Because see, if you read that Joshua is a terrible book. If you are a redemptive man, if you read the book of Joshua, you will cry for humanity. Ah! There was a time that they were fighting these seven nations. After they kill, and some people want to escape. Bible says, he starts throwing, angels start throwing stones from them. So they didn't say angels, but of course, who else is throwing stones from on top? They start throwing stones from them. Wow, from the sky. Waiting. And at the end of the day, you enter the Canaan, but you didn't enter the Canaan of God. Yet kill people like butterfly. See 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. Pay attention to this story. Because what you are trying to say is, can the Bible be wrong? Because there is this facade that God loved Israel, hated the rest of the world. Because God wanted to give Israel a land, he was killing people for them. No. It's not God in action. Pay attention. See this story. The day I first saw this thing, I said, what is happening here? Are you ready? Good. 2 Kings 3 from verse 5. But it came to pass, when Ahab was dead, that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel, and the king Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. 7, and he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Will thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. Are you with me? Verse 8, and he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of the Edom. Verse 9, so the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the horse, for the cattle that followed them. Verse 10, and the kings of Israel said, alas, the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. Verse 11, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet? Say a prophet. Say a prophet. Say Babania. Good. A prophet of the Lord. Say prophet of the Lord. Say prophet of the Lord. Thank you. Now, that we may inquire of the Lord by him. And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, CCV, which pour water on the hand of who? Elijah. Babania. These are dangerous guys of the Old Testament. He's Elisha, one man battalion. Good. A man that can completely say a whole staff army, all of you become blind. See again. What are you looking for? We are looking for Elijah. He's not here. Where is he? Let me take you to where he is. Such a man. Now, that's the man they went to. So it's not like Nathan that is just after David's Walla. He's a real man of God that he went to. Nathan is just a national prophet. You understand? They're already prophesying again that, come 2018, this is your next president. You see all of them again. Shameless. Verse 12, and Jesus said, the word of the Lord is with him. Wow. The word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Verse 13. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Because the guy, he was not happy with him. Get thee to the prophets of thy fathers. Of thy father. Prophet Lonsoro. And to the prophet of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, no, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. 14. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, why it not that I regard the presence of who? Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. I will not look towards thee, nor see thee. And now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Verse 16. And he said, listen, thus said the Lord, make this valley full of dishes. For the Lord said, thus said the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall thou see rain, yet the valley shall be full of water. See prophecy. That you may drink, both you and your cattle, and your beasts. And this is but a lighting in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver Moabite in also into your hands. Please read verse 18 again, everybody. In the sight of the Lord, he will deliver. Say he will deliver. Say clear statement. Let's see. Verse 19. And you shall smite down every fair city, every sure city, and shall fell every good tree, and shall stop all the waste of the water, and mar every good piece of the land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. Say angelic work. Say angelic work. Say angelic work. Okay, now, see 21. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border. 22. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the waters. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as what? Red as blood. Can you see deception? So the angels put those things as deception. Now, 13. And they said, this is blood, and the king are surely slain, and they are beating, smiting one another. See assumption. You didn't see one dead body. You are saying they are dead. So that is how they can mess up with people's brain then. Now, therefore, Moab to the spoil. And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forth smiting the Moabites, even in their country. They have prophecy, right? Let's keep reading. 25. And they beat down the cities and on every good piece of the land, cast every man his stone, and filled with it, and they stopped all the wells of water, and filled all the good trees only in that place, left the stones, therefore, albeit the slingers went about it. What is wrong with you? What is the issue? Sorry. And smote it. 26. And when the kings of Moab saw the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords, professionals, to break through even unto the king of Edom. But they could not. 27. Slowly. Want to go, everybody? Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel. And they departed from him and returned to their own land. What happened? What happened? Altar versus altar. No, this is a story that got me thinking for you. This guy, they had prophecy. Elisha. Baba, prophecy, clear prophecy. And as they got to the place, the thing was working. It was working. What do you think this man invoked? It's clear. Okay, at least you remember in the book of Daniel, when Gabriel was coming to give an answer to Daniel, what did he say? He said the prince of Persia withstood me. But later he now sent another guy. Another guy now came. Because this one would not stop praying. Somebody else now, Michael now came to what? To help him. So or else Gabriel would have still been there today. So what do you think happened there? If it is God that wanted to destroy Moabites, can it be countered? To tell you that all those things that we call exploits, they are not acts of God. It is people using power against power. It's not God that failed. See what that place says. In fact, the writer could not explain what happened. What did he put it? Say, and there was great indignation. Where did he come from? Clash of the Titans. And Israel just left them and went back to their country. You want to ask questions? Not today. Praise God. Are you with me? So that was obviously demonic. It was not God fighting any battle. If you are quoting Psalm 35, the Lord fight, you are just invoking evil. You are just training, teaching angels to kill people. We'll get to that one later. It was men using angelic... Now, please, now write this down. But for Israel, it was men using angelic help to preserve the knowledge of redemption. But of course, if you now look at the details of that one, that battle, is it necessary? No. Moab is not coming to displace you. But you have a duty to maintain the consciousness of redemption in Israel. You are going around trying to do like, I am God's favorite. I have to wish hunt everybody. Don't you know me? Somebody failed me in school. He must die. I don't know if you have tried to kill a Israelite before. Let me just, 1, 2, 3. I mean, you have tried. Okay, you have not tried. You wished. Don't you know me? I'm the apple of God's eye. Are you the only apple? Hope you have repented, yeah? Praise God. So, I can say what Israel was trying to do was right. But because they were preserving the lineage of the Messiah. But number one, that one was not necessary. You are going to your Canaan. Moab is not coming to fight you. You now want to become general superintendent of general commander. So I wrote in my note, I said they were only preserving the lineage of the Messiah. But were their actions always right? No. Could they have done better? Yes. And unfortunately, just keep writing as much as you can write, that is the type of mankind available to actualize God's plan. God cannot bring forth the Messiah without man. These are the type of man that will actualize God's plan. It was a time for war, bloodshed. It's a reign of sin and death. It was what the best of men knew was to fight war, bloodshed, kill. So I said all we read is just to say this, that the deeds that Israel did to enter the promised land, all those war of David killing Goliath, they are not depiction of God's character. Just write the latter part. All those things, wars, David killing Goliath, they don't depict God's character. Because if Jesus sees Goliath, he would rather die for him than kill him. So, but rather, this is what was happening in the Old Testament. Israel had an assignment. It was clearer here, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Israel had a core assignment that they must do. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Right? Verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless them and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, want to go, everybody? I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them him that cursed thee, and in thee shall all of the families of the earth be what? So, wow. In thee, right? Shall how many family? All the family of the earth be blessed. Rush back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. So, this is God carrying out his plan. What is that plan? Genesis 3:15. What's there? And as seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise. See, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. So, God was going to bring forth a seed. Just one. This seed is coming to bless humanity. This seed is coming to bless Pharaoh, to bless Goliath, to bless all of them. But through whom will the seed come? The seed will only come through man. Wow. Through whom will the seed come from? It will come through man. Although he is from God, but he will come through man. So, God will have to use the imperfections of men to bring forth his perfect plan. God will have to use the imperfections of men to bring forth his perfect plan. Not that God made men imperfect. Imperfections is all that man is. Man was by default imperfect. So God will now use that state of man. Anger, vengeance, war, bloodshed, killing. That is it. So don't compare yourself with Moses, with David. What all the best they knew then was is to fight. To kill. Reign of sin and death. Which got stronger after the flood. So, now, when you see the story of, like, Judah that slept with her half-sister, and, is this sister or half-sister? Sister-in-law, right? Daughter-in-law. Mm-hmm. So, all that is not God's will. But who else did God have to use? Is it Simon? Is it Levi? Everybody was wrong. So, the attitude of Noah getting drunk, cursing his children, they aren't God's will. But which other man is available? Do you get the point? That is the type of man that is available. No one else. So, this is why redemption will be had. No, in this series, we are going to see what delayed the coming of Jesus. Before, is that this series or our Jesus? We see that. So, a perfect man, a perfect message is coming from an imperfect lineage. Perfect man, perfect message, but coming through an imperfect lineage. Imperfect lineage. The reign of sin and death was just getting stronger. So I wrote in my notes here. I said, man's default for survival wasn't love and forgiveness, but war and vengeance. Man's default, in those times, man's default for survival was not love, was not forgiveness. It was war. It was vengeance. So, the men of old will not know better than to use that instrumentality of wickedness, child, to bring forth God's plan. I will take that again. You have to write that one down. This is how to explain all those deeds. The men of old will not know better than to use that instrumentality of wickedness to bring forth God's plan. The fruit of the Spirit is not in man. At all, then it was not in man. So let me ask you this question. Was God pleased with the way David killed Goliath? Was God pleased with David killing Goliath? But tell me, how best could Israel have been delivered from extinction? It was just, you know, God was just like, okay, what will I do? Hands up. Look at that king, you know, one of you, don't mind me, I think in this church, I'm taking you too much through the Old Testament, have you? I bring you the Old Testament so much. Don't worry, we go back to Ephesians, very soon we'll go back. Ephesians, Colossians, everything. Look at that story of the one I call Sennacherib. I won't call it Kerubu, right? Sennacherib. That guy was such a monster. Imagine he just sent a letter to the king of Israel. He said, "Thus said Sennacherib. He said, your gold is mine, your silver is mine." Like, that was the letter. That was just saying, "Yes, sir." He first said, "Yes, sir." He now wrote another letter. He said, "Thus said Sennacherib. Not only your gold and silver now, even your wife are mine. Ah, your children are mine. Ah." Then he now ran to Isaiah, right? So now, at the end of the day, an angel now went to the camp of Assyria, killed 187,000 soldiers. This is the question. That is wrong, Gabi. But what else could have been done? See the threat of the man. He said, your wife is mine. The one that will bring forth Jesus in the future is already mine. You understand? The lineage that will bring forth Jesus is their mind. I claim them today. So, in the subconscious of Israel, you must survive. Bring forth the Messiah. Are you with me? But everybody is just wicked. Praise God. There was no United Nations to say ceasefire or there's none. Everybody is just here. No. If you thank God now, the one that is threatening us with nuclear weapon now, he has calmed down. And your elder brother, Brother Joshua, North Korea. Sorry, he sees on the internet. He can hear like that. He has calmed down. So in this long line of people, God must keep showing forth his plan to save. And I wrote furthermore, in this long line of people, God must keep showing forth his plan to save. E.g., why was Abraham chosen? God saw a man that is childless. God will use his life to prove that with God, nothing will be impossible. I take it again. Why was Abraham chosen? God simply saw a man that is childless. Not that God made him childless so that he can bring forth his plan. No. Barrenness was already on the earth. Barrenness was already... God does not need to manufacture barrenness for Sarah. It's not... There are 1,000 things that could have caused the woman to be barren. So barrenness was already on the earth. So God now saw a woman that is barren with a husband called Abraham. Good. I will now use this one to actualize my plan. Do you get the difference between God doing something and God seeing what is already happening? Then I will use this one. Amen, amen. So God brought not just help to Abraham, but help to the entire world. Hallelujah. So in God causing the promise to come to Abraham, he will also bless Abraham with Isaac. So I wrote it down. I said, God selected the seed of Abraham to bless the entire mankind. The entire mankind. Not that God hated the rest of the mankind. Are you with me? Not that God hated every other nations. No. It's called a seed. One offering. One sacrifice. One Jesus. It will be one man. One man can only come from one place. So, a tribe was selected so that every other tribe can be blessed. Now, don't expect them to know clearly the details of their commission. They didn't know clearly that, okay, what God was saying is that Jesus will come through me. Don't expect them to say that clearly. Don't forget, this man, they are men without the Spirit of God. They don't know jack about what is to come. See Genesis 25, verse 23. The same message is here. 25:23. Come on, let's do this in the next 30 minutes. Let's be on the wheel. Genesis 25:23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one shall serve, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Very, very. Even the guy that delivered this message to this woman, even the angel, whoever, does not even understand too. Instead of saying, the seed from Jacob will be the one that will bless the seed of Esau. Do you understand? He said, Esau will serve Jacob. But guess what? Do you know what? Two things. Number one, Esau never served Jacob. In fact, Esau became wealthy more than Jacob. Let's see. Don't worry. We have time in this church. You read everything. Genesis 33, verse 1. There's no paraphrase. I've told all my ministers to stop paraphrasing for you. Read it. Where are we rushing to? Are we married? Except for your pastor. Genesis 33. When our site is full, we find an hard drive. Are you there? Genesis 33. Verse 1. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel, unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph at the back. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. So who is having who now? See verse 4. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the woman and the children and said, who are those with thee? And he said, the children which God has graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaids came near and their children, and they bowed themselves. So who is having who? They bowed themselves. Verse 7. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph and Leah and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. Verse 8. And he said, what meanest thou by all this, drove which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. Verse 9. 1, 2, go. Everybody. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that. Say, Dangote. Say, I have enough. So that you can stop seeing beyond physical thing. He's not talking about Esau. It's not. No, we have used that thing to preach that God can just favor somebody, hate somebody else. It's not. That is not what is happening here. See the next verse, don't stop. And and Jacob said, no, I pray thee, if I have found grace in your sight, you receive my presence at my hand. Therefore, I have seen thy face, and as though I have eaten the face of God, and thou was pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee. And God, because God has dealt graciously with me, because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. Wow. And he said, let us take our journey. Let us go. I will go before thee. And he said unto him, my Lord knows that the children are their tender, the flocks and the herds are young with me, and if I should overdrive them one day, all the flocks shall die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead them softly according to as the cattle that went before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord, unto Seir. Verse 15 and 16. Want to go? Let's read, yes? And Esau said, let me now leave with thee some of the flock that are with me. And he said, what needed it? Let me find grace. So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir. So, what was the blessing of Jacob? What was the blessing of Jacob? Same thing he told Abraham. I don't know if you have listened to that person message that he said every word of Abraham, the physical word of Abraham was by dishonesty. How do you go to an empire? Your wife is the Miss Nigeria. And the king was eyeing your wife. He said, don't worry, just say I'm your brother. And you are now collecting in-law. He did it twice, right? In-law benefit. Twice. And then he became wealthy. Is that in Christ? Lying? It was Major Mayor that said that. He said that is the worst thing he can commit. How can I say my wife is my sister? Of course, if you read the... Although it is, you know, it's actually her sister. But Abba, which one is stronger? Wife or sister? When was the other? So it's just... Now, okay, that's part of the things we are saying. In those, their culture then, a man can marry his sister. Should that really be okay? I don't think so. I think they still do it in some part of China or Japan. But those are the men that is available. Where will God see his own man to bring forth Jesus? I said, see Genesis 28, verse 10. See the same thing that God told Jacob. It was what God told Abraham. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and he tarried there all night because his sun was set. And he took off of the stones that of the place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed and behold a ladder set up on the earth and the top of it reached to the heaven. And behold the angels of God were what? Ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and God of Isaac. The land whereon thou standest lies, to thee will I give thee. And to thy what? To thy what? Say seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee shall what? In thee and in thy seed shall what? All the families of where? Earth. Everybody. So who is that seed? Jesus. See verse 15. And behold, I am with thee and I will keep thee in all places wherewith thou goest and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I will make you love your Bible. Eh? When you see all this story, you will see the essence. So, the blessing of Jacob is that the seed that God spoke about in Genesis chapter 3, that he gave to Abraham, will come through him. That was the blessing. That Jesus will be called, he will be called of a lot of the tribe of Judah, from the tribe of Israel. That was all. Now, because of that, Jacob will now treat, he will now be treating himself as special. But we know now that the favoritism, it failed on several occasions. Do you know? That special thing. Do you know Laban peppered him? Laban peppered that guy. Even after... Oh, God. So you can understand that that blessing on Jacob, on Abraham, on Israel, is not material. Okay, see chapter 42, verse 1. The blessings that the Christ will come through them to bless all men with righteousness. That was the blessing. That was what God was saying. That they were trying to put down, that they could not present clearly. When he was saying, the elder shall serve the younger, he simply saw that, okay, don't forget, God will use all these pictures to show his character. In that picture, you can see that God will bless the unqualified. Can you see it? Because Jacob was a younger, right? Now say Esau, who is qualified for the birthright, he will not get it. But Jacob that is not qualified, he will get it. So, now, before you think that, that means God is partial. No, get what? Is it get money? It's not to get anything at that time. It's about the plan of God. So, two things in that place. Number one, God will use that scenario again. Don't forget, he used the scenario of Abraham, that Abraham was childless, to prove that, oh, don't worry, with God, nothing shall be impossible. That is, your salvation will not be impossible. Also, he used the scenario of Esau and Jacob to say, my salvation will be for the man that is not qualified. Hallelujah. It will be for the man. For the man that came empty-handed. For the man that is not qualified. Praise God. So, it's not about physical things at all. Say at all. Okay, I say open where? 42, right? Verse 1. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do ye look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. So get you down there and buy for us from thence, that we may live and know what? And not die. Hunger is killing them. That's Israel. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. See chapter 43. The same thing happened again. And the famine was sore in the land. See? It's not anything physical. Famine was sore in the land. It came to pass when they had eaten up the corn. It didn't multiply miraculously. Which they had brought out of Egypt. Their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. So there was no auto provision. Now, this is what I want to say. Because there are men that had the promise, do they have access to angelic authority? Huh? But if you now look at this very well, the even people that don't have the promise, do they have access to power? Like we read. So, what is special? The Messiah. That's all. At the end of the day, Israel, didn't they go into captivity? Nebuchadnezzar came, took everything. Their temple, everything. But don't forget, God, now, in that captivity, those guys, they were still doing wonders. You understand? Praise God. That was Daniel and the rest. So, now, why did God select Israel? Number one, why did God select Israel? Number one, to preserve the intention of God / the knowledge of redemption to come. To preserve the intention of God / the knowledge of redemption to come. To preserve it. To preserve it. To preserve that knowledge. So that mankind can relate to Genesis 3. That God said, I will save you. If the knowledge became lost, ladies and gentlemen, it will be difficult for Jesus to come. Good. Number two, to physically bring forth the Messiah. Number one is to preserve knowledge. Don't forget, if you now read the book of Hebrews, it said and Romans 2, it said unto them was committed the oracles of God. So, number two, to physically bring forth the Messiah. Number three, this is a funny one. Because he must choose someone. That number three is actually very important. Number one, why did he choose Israel? Okay, because to preserve the knowledge of redemption. Number two, to physically bring forth the Messiah. Number three, he will shall choose someone. It's like asking that, why do you marry that girl? Okay, she is fine, she is good. And Don't be girl I go marry. He's someone, he's so, it will be someone. So it could have been anyone. Praise God. So the seed must be a man, not angel. So write this down and ensure you remind me that I don't skip it. Man has been chosen. The seed must be a man, number one. Then man has been chosen at least since Genesis 3. So it was man that was not ready to welcome him all this while. It was man that was not ready to welcome that Messiah all this while. Jesus was ready to come. Since the day God spoke, Jesus was ready. But man was not ready. Please try and remind me in the series Our Jesus of that statement. In case I forget. So, you know, he shows Abraham, then Abraham, Isaac, and the rest, then Judah. But he could have, God could have started afresh. See a story in Exodus 20:32. Israel too was about to lose it. Why did Noah use the whole world, destroy everyone? Everybody has almost lost it. So what else could Noah have done? He preached for 120 years. They didn't listen. So what else could Noah have done? So see what I'm saying? Exodus 32, verse 9. So Israel too was about to lose it on a day. Moses now said, don't worry. I will mentor them myself. See, that's why that Lord now became stronger. And the Lord, 32, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen these people. Behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of who? Thee a great nation. So was Jesus tied so much to the umbilical cord of the tribe of Israel? No, it's humanity. So what was about to happen here? Promise was about to change from who? From Israel to Moses. But the good guy, see what he did. And Moses besought the Lord and said, Lord, why does thy wrath was hot against thy people now, Abba, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt and with great power and with a mighty hand? God wouldn't have started afresh. Iggy, see something. Also, let me also say something. When did God select Judah? Let me ask that question. When did God select Judah as... Yes, talk now. Of Moses? Where now? Don't say where. Which Moses? When? If there will be a basis of Moses, do we have anyone before then? And now you focus on the first one. Huh? Not Moses that came how many years after. Moses will only amplify what the first guy said. So let's see that Genesis 49, verse 8. Can the Bible be wrong? I have nice stuff for you. Just we'll be here on Friday. We'll be here. Now, verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Keep reading. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Okay, it's not yet clear enough. Judah is a lion's whip. From the prey, my son, thou hast gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? Verse 10. Want to go? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Of course, if you see the word Shiloh there, in the Greek word Hebrew, is Shiloh, S-H-E-E-L-O. It means the Messiah. Like an epithet of the Messiah. A tranquil. That is T-R-A-N-Q-U-I-L. So now, I now say this. The previous, are you called Sir IJ? Are you called? Put off the ICO if you are. Leave the upside. So the previous history of Judah, of how he slept with his, I forgot it again, daughter-in-law, everything, those previous history was now deliberately documented because the writer saw that God shows him later. Don't forget, this thing was written after everything has happened. So, how does God let the people? Prophecy. 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 So, it is the day that somebody prophesied out that, you know, it was a prophet that came to Rebecca, right? To say the elder shall serve the young. That was how Jacob was selected. Prophets. Not that God was above doing something. The prophets were inspired. They were inspired how should I put it now? They were inspired by the overview of redemption. Redemption will be for the unqualified. Redemption it will be through a man. It will be this. So the prophet in their prophecy, they will select somebody. So that is how Judah came forth. So his previous history was written. Why? Because Moses saw, the writer of Genesis, saw that later he was what? Selected. Because before here, we didn't see any prophecy to separate Judah from the rest of his brethren. You understand? Okay, good. So Israel was blessed same way as other nations. Nothing much special about them physically. Some people are saying, Mark Zuckerberg is a Jew. Jews today, they are prospering. Adolf Hitler lined up 8 million of them in a straight line and killed them. So where is the blessing then? I mean, which year did they just came back and came together? 19 what? Just, 60 something or so? Okay, around that time. They just came together. Why do you study those things? Okay, Exodus 12. Now, one other thing I want to talk about in it, then we close. There is also, so we can see abuse of words in the Bible. The elder shall serve the younger is an abuse of words. That is not what is happening. It is Jacob, the seed of Jacob, will bless Esau and everybody. That was what was happening. So now, also, in the Old Testament, there is also an abuse of a word, forever. It was abused. We see this, then we go. Are you with me? Okay, Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. E.g., see this one. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, for you shall keep it a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generation, you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever, right? Okay, see atonement too. Leviticus 16, verse 29. This shall be a statue for... Sorry, I'm too fast. I already have my own. That's the advantage of it. That's 12:14. Now I'm in Leviticus 16:29. So I'm saying also, we are looking at things that looks like Bible contradictions and that must be clearly explained. E.g., if you remember my conclusion in the last part, I said, can the Bible be wrong? I said, what you do is God did not give you one part without the other. You must pick everything as a single material. We are going to have an exam on this. Okay. Leviticus 16, verse 29. And this shall be a statue forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the seventh day, who is born on 7/10, on the seventh day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it is one of your own or a stranger that sojourn among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. 31, want to go? It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your soul by a statue forever. But so we have several stuffs using the Old Testament. Forever, forever, forever. But go rush back to the New Testament. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. It's an abuse of word. It is the best they can say. Anyway, but we'll see the reason now. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end. Say end. Say fulfillment. Is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believe. Hebrews chapter 10, the first. It's a long read. Hebrews 10 from verse 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the commands thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers once spoiled should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. So that forever was not perfect. That there forever was imperfection. Now, see verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore he said, when he comes to the word, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body you have prepared me. In burnt offering and sacrifice for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said that, lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O Lord. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither add pleasure therein, which are offered by the Lord. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Let's read the latter part. Yes. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Verse 10, look at your Bible. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting his enemies be made his footstool. 14. For by one offering he had perfected forever. Now we have a new forever, right? We have a forever before. That forever, he said he taketh it away. Now we have the real forever. The essence. Now, them that are sanctified. 15. Wherefore the Holy Ghost was also a witness to us. For after he has said this before, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of with them after those days, say the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. 18. Want to go? Yes. Now, where remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. So, it is not the law that is meant to be forever. It is not the ordinances, it is the essence. They miss that they are forever then. It is not that law, it is not those ceremonies that were meant to be forever in the plan of God. It is the essence. Do you get that? I will leave you to write down that. It is the essence that was meant to be forever in the mind of God. Not the shadows, not the plenty ceremony. Colossians 2:16. Let no man, please look at this one. Oh, I'm almost done. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body, say the body, is of Christ. Now, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding to those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and holding not the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered, and came together, increased with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the word, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, and do not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Wow. Doctrines of what? Men. So when did the law come to an end? Matthew 27, be fast. Say, Christ is the end of the law. Matthew 27, verse 45. Matthew 27, 45. From the sixth hour unto there was darkness over the land unto the ninth hour. And by the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying what? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say what? My God, why hast thou
forsaking me. Verse 47, and some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is crying for Elijah, for where? And straight away, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled with vinegar, and put it in a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see if Elijah will come and save him. He will not even let allow him to come. Verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the... So verse 46 and 50, which one is the death of Jesus? What is all this? Which one is the death of Jesus? Why? For this is what? Spiritual death. So 50 is what? Is it? So 50 will be the result of 46. Are you with me? So 51 now says, and behold, the veil of the temple. So when all this thing happened, what? So one angel, it's not God that teared that temple, it's one angel that just vexed. Pwah! And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top and to the bottom. And the earth quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. So no shadow is meant to be forever. That death of Jesus was the end. Was the end. They should do that shadow so much until the end of the Old Testament. Until Christ comes. Until the fulfillment. So that's what he was saying, Matthew 5:17. Think not that I've come to destroy the law and the prophet. I've not come to destroy, but to what? To fulfill. So all those forever, they have an expiring date. Let me now use this concept to explain what we saw earlier again to you. 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. Elijah. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30.
Oh, glory, glory, glory to God. Yeah, he's useless, useless to me. I walk in boldness, for Christ is in me. Yeah, he's useless. To me. Walk in boldness, Christ is in me.
1 Samuel 2 verse 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me. For what?
That is easier. You're not here there. Don't allow your name to enter this book of life or this book of microphone. Some people, they cannot get their name out. Even if they leave this church, by default, you just hear Joshua. Amen. Good, good, good. Verse 20 again. 30 rather.
Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed. You know, these are strong words that must be explained. If this is God that has changed his tone, then we're in trouble. Then we just get to heaven. You say, but you wrote John 3:16 now. Uh-huh. Can't I change you again?
You just put your hand on your head. Book you have, you that you have slayed everybody, prepared everybody. You say, yeah. After I have hacked the fathers.
Now, see, okay. I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. For them that despise me, I will lightly esteem. Behold, the days come, I will cut off thy arm, eh? And the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man. This is what I want to say now. Even Aaron, their grandmaster, that nobody prophesied death over, is he died too? Even Aaron, where is he alive now? See now, see Deuteronomy 10 verse 6. Even Aaron, their grandmaster, he too died. So you can get these terminologies of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 10 verse 6. Open, 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 open. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And the children of Israel took their journey from Beeroth of the children of Jachan to Moserah. There Aaron was died. And there he was buried. And Eleazar, his son, ministered in the priest's office in his stead. Rush to Joshua 24. So who took over? Eleazar took over him, right? Eleazar took over the priesthood. See, so did anybody prophesy death over him? No, but he died too. So what was special about Eli? See Joshua 24:33. The only difference is that somebody just died before his own time. Everybody is going to die. So it's death. See Joshua 24:33. And are you there? Want to go? Let's read. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died. And they buried him in the hill that pertained to Phinehas, his son, which was given to him in Mount. So every other high priest too, they died. Meaning that promise of a forever priest is not for the priest after the order of Aaron. It's not for the Levitical priesthood. They just mix it together. That promise of a forever priest was not for the priest after the order of Aaron. Okay, Baba, play the keyboard for us. But see this. Hebrews chapter 7. That promise of forever was for somebody. They just mix everything up. Hebrews 7. So, what simply happened is that somebody hated somebody because of the things that Eli did, he just died sooner. He will still die. His house is his own lineage, they will still go. But see Bush chapter 7 from verse 22. By so much, are you there, everybody? You can't stop. You must not leave me to do this alone. By so much was Jesus made a what? Surety of a better testament. And there truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Is it only Eli? No, it's all of them. So it's not in Eli's case that God now changes word. No, it's never meant to be forever. See it. But this man, because he continued forever, as an unchangeable. So that unchangeability that was promised to Eli was just slip of your tongue. It was not for him. Who is to have the unchangeable priesthood? Jesus. So Eli should not feel bad that somebody came. It was never, sorry, they just gave you wrong prophecy. Wrong word of K. Amen. See it. 25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. Why? See he ever liveth. Glory to God. To make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needed not daily as Eli, as Aaron, as Eleazar, as Phinehas, as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered of himself. 28, want to go, everybody? For the law maketh high priests which have words. But what is the infirmity? What is the weakness? They will die. Dead, they will die. They are mortal. Hallelujah. They are mortal. They will die. That was infirmity there. Not talking about sickness. But the word of the oath, which was since the Lord, make it the Son who is consecrated. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See, our priest is forever. So God will not change his word or character. So it's not that God changed his word or character, but only Jesus' priesthood was ordained to be everlasting. So they just mix up everything. Can the Bible be wrong? We're going to see much more in this series. See much more. Oh, glory to God. See my priest. See our high priest. He is forever. Say God does not change his word. Say God is true, both in the old covenant and in the new covenant. He didn't change. It's rather men that changed. And it's rather men that are coming to understand what happened. Oh, pray in tongues. Oh, I'm not keeping it tonight today. God's word. Please, Juliet, as you are seeing all this and this, give us songs in line with this. Now we have talked about the constancy of God's word, of God's character. doesn't change. Constancy. Constancy. Oh, in tongues. So two things we saw today clearly. So about Israel, about those debts. It's not that they are special. Because several times too, they were defeated. It was just the reign of sin and death. And that was a man that God had that was available to bring forth God's plan. And the use of the word forever was about the priesthood of Jesus. Passover was never meant to be forever. It was meant to be as long as the essence is not available. Atonement. Tithe and offering. Tithe, rather. Tithe. And all the offering of the Old Testament are never meant to be forever. It's until Shiloh comes, brethren. It's until Shiloh comes. Oh, glory to God. He said, I am not come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. I came to satisfy it. I came to give it everything it needs.
For sins, it is paid once for all. Our priest is forever blessing us. Our priest is forever.
The forever content of their prophecy is for us, it's not for them. Song that we sang initially, help me, is there a song?